why we celebrate Easter. It's the final piece of redemption story is now complete. And so I'm thankful today that you came to church, but our desire is not that you came today to get that warm and fuzzy feeling or to find religion. Our prayer and our desire, our heart this morning, is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our desire is that you leave here today knowing and have a confident relationship that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and how you can have a personal relationship with him, and he desires to offer that to you. So Easter is about the story of Jesus. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to share the story of God and what our story looks like. So I want you to think about this morning about the story of Jesus and how it intersects with your life. I want you to think about the story of Jesus and how you have do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The most important thing today, it's not going to be what you're going to have for lunch, if you're going to have family or friends over, if you're going to your favorite restaurant, if you're going to be having the kids have an Easter egg hunt or pictures with the Easter bunny. The most important thing today is to know for sure that you have a personal relationship with the God of heaven, and to know that you have your sins have been paid for on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. He came to earth willingly, laid down his life on the cross for your sin and for mine. Church, don't ever get over Easter Sunday. In fact, if you know Christ as your Savior, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the risen Savior who died on the cross for your sin and for mine, and makes possible a personal relationship with God. And I want you to discover three things this morning. We're going to look at the story of Jesus from Luke chapter 23. Luke was a physician, and he's writing from a physician's mindset, a point of view, and he's giving the story of what took place as Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died. But folks, he did not stay in the grave, did he? I'm thankful this morning he is risen. He is risen indeed. And what an awesome thing to celebrate. In Luke chapter 23, we're going to pick up the story. It begins much earlier than this, but we're going to pick up the story in verse 32. It says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, don't miss this, church. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching the rulers as they scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up, offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews, much like what we see here. And it was a mocking thing. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This morning, the story of Jesus is a picture of forgiveness. In fact, it's the ultimate picture of what it means to forgive someone. And Jesus ultimately pardoned us for our sin. And the entire story of Jesus is nothing more than God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus is paying our sin debt and is making it possible for God to forgive us of our sins and that we could be made righteous before a holy God. When Jesus came to earth, he came that he might die once and for all for the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl. He died for the sins of every single one of us. It doesn't matter how bad our life has been. It doesn't matter what the course of life has taken us, the turns and the trials, the catastrophes, the dead ends, the crash and burns, and all of the things of our lives. Folks, Jesus Christ's blood covers all of our sin. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for our sake he made him to be sin for us. In other words, Jesus Christ took on our sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when God looks at you this morning, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Keith, you're now made righteous before God. So Christ doesn't look down. God didn't look down and see a sinful, wicked, vile sinner such as Keith. But he looks down and he sees someone for whom Jesus Christ died for. And his family's all laughing in their mind. We could tell you a few stories about it. In fact, the reality is this morning is every single one of us have a history, a past story. And yet Jesus Christ offers redemption and forgiveness of sin. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches in his grace. You see, this morning, when Jesus Christ extended grace, he extended it all the way to where we live, all the way to exactly where we are this morning. And he offers us rich mercy. In fact, as Jesus made his way up towards the cross of Calvary, he made his way up Calvary's hill towards the cross that many scholars believe was intended for Barabbas. If you remember in those days, Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem and they're crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday. This morning, the crowd is crying, crucify him, crucify him. And they said, what about Barabbas? He's supposed to be crucified. And they said, release him, release Barabbas. Many scholars believe that this was actually the cross that Barabbas would have died on, and this was where he would have been crucified. Some believe that the men on either side of Jesus were scoundrels, were part of that group of people that Barabbas was involved in, were probably his accomplices. But the executioners led Jesus up the hill to the place called the Skull. It's called Golgotha in Hebrew, Golgotha in Aramaic, Calvarius in Latin, and then the word is Calvary in English. So they led him up Calvary's hill. And folks, everything about this, the name is associated with the gruesome reality of death, that Jesus Christ would take our place and he would die a painful death and take on our scourging, our punishment, our sin, our shame, our crime, our sin. In verse 34 of our text, we see when he's hanging on the cross, the very mindset. Now, folks, if someone's doing you wrong this morning, oftentimes our human nature is to get even. Our human nature is to settle the score, so to speak. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Here are the soldiers. They're casting lots and seeing who gets his garments, his blood-soaked garments. They're seeing who gets them. And he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we see even as he's hanging on the cross, it's a beautiful picture of forgiveness as Jesus offers forgiveness for those who have wronged him, those who are killing him. He forgave them as he hung on a cruel cross. He forgave them as they mocked him. He forgave them as they put a crown of thorns on his head, that he forgave them as they spit upon his face. I'll be honest, probably one of the most disgusting and humane things you can do to someone to show disdain towards them is to spit in their face. Sometimes you see that on a playground as a child, and kids will say, he spit on me. She spit on me. She looked at me the wrong way. But folks, the reality is the soldiers, as they mocked him, they begin to spit on him. What a disgusting thing. And yet, he still forgave them. He forgave them. Verse 39 says, one of the criminals said, if you're really the Christ, save yourself. Hey, while you're at it, save us too. So he was mocking him. He was railing him. He was ridiculing him. Verse 40 said, the other criminal on the other side says, do you not fear God? Since we're standing here, we're going to die. We're hanging on the cross on either side of him. We indeed justly, for we're receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. I love what happens here in verse 42. He asked Jesus, he said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, when you go back into the presence of God, when you enter back into heaven, remember me. Remember me. What are we saying is ultimately he's acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. He's hanging on the cross beside him. He's saying, You don't deserve this. You're perfect. You're holy. You're righteous. You are God. And yet I'm hanging here beside you and I'm getting exactly what I deserve because I'm a rotten sinner. I deserve the punishment of hanging on the cross. In other words, he's describing exactly where you and I are this morning. We are desperate. We're sinful men, folks. And we are desperate in need of a Savior. And so as he looks across, he sees the one who's dying for the sins of the entire world on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus' response was one of forgiveness, because that's the story of Jesus. He says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me where? In paradise. Woo! The most beautiful picture of forgiveness is Jesus is standing and hanging on the cross, and he looks over and he sees another man who deserves the punishment of death, and yet Jesus says, I forgive you. In other words, today, you're going to be with me. You're going where I'm going. You're going to be in the presence of God for all of eternity. He called on Jesus to remember him when he returned to his kingdom. The irony of the story is this, folks, is Jesus hung on the cross. He was being mocked. They were railing on him that you can't save your own self and you're the son, you're the king of the Jews, you're the king of kings, you're the Lord of lords. And yet, while he was hanging there, he saved others. While he's standing there hanging on the cross, he saved others, including the thief, by not saving himself. There's a song I remember growing up hearing that said, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. The reality is what Jesus Christ accomplished was the most ultimate picture of forgiveness as he took our place on the cross of Calvary, folks. He had to die so that you and I could be forgiven. We see a story of forgiveness, or picture of forgiveness. We see a position of relationship. In verse 44 of our text, it says, it was now the sixth hour. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. The Bible tells us that the darkness overshadowed the final 3 hours of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Suddenly at noon, when the sun was at its highest point, darkness overtook the sky. And I remember just a few months ago when the eclipse came around, and I remember our kids were home, and we were outside with our little glasses. Lord only knows if they actually were the real ones or not. They were selling all these glasses, and come to find out half of them weren't even the real kind that would spare your eyes. But we were out there with our little glasses on. We're looking at that little tiny dot, and as it gets smaller and as it gets smaller, and folks, but it only lasted just a few seconds. And if you remember, Wes, it was like that few moments, and it didn't get completely dark. They showed places around the world that it actually got completely dark. And it was absolutely amazing. I remember a couple years ago, and Greg Fisher was at a certain place out in the mountains near Asheville, and it got almost completely dark, and he stood there and wept as he thought about what was taking place. The reality is, this morning, is it wasn't an eclipse. God caused a shadow of darkness over the face of the earth at that moment. Why? Because he could not look at his son as he bore the sins of the entire world on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ took our sin. He took the judgment and the wrath of God. So it was as the sun was hidden during that moment, God brought judgment on his son, who bore the sins of his entire world on the body on the cross. He unleashed on Jesus the full extent of his wrath against the sins of all who will place their faith and trust in Jesus. It was by his death this morning that you and I can live. It's by his death that we can experience eternal life. He paid the sin debt of the entire world once and for all on the cross 2,000 years ago. John MacArthur said this about this very moment. He says, the darkness was not caused by the absence of God, but rather by his presence in full judgment, vengeance, and fury. In other words, he's saying, God could not look down as Christ bore the sin of the entire world. It was too much. And he turned his back, and there was a cloud of darkness. In fact, if you go to the book of Isaiah, it actually gives a more descriptive picture of the crucifixion than any of the gospel accounts. Because, folks, God chose to shadow the entire earth with darkness. In Mark chapter 15, verse 34, it says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was in that moment that Jesus took the punishment for our sin. He became our substitute. Folks, our debt was paid in full. I love what happened next. If you look at our text in verse 45, we see one of the most beautiful pictures in all of history. Because the Bible says that the veil in the temple was now torn in two from the top to the bottom. Folks, over 60 feet tall. Man could not do it, but God caused an earthquake to take place. And folks, the veil of the temple was ripped in two. And it's symbolic now of a new relationship that's now available for those who place our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished. He offers us a relationship, a personal relationship with the God of heaven. So don't miss the significance. Prior to Christ dying on the cross for our sin, we were forever separated from God because of our sin. Our sin keeps us from a relationship with God. And in the Old Testament, Jews would go to the temple and they would bring a blood sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be offered by the high priest, who would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer a sacrifice in the presence of God. But folks, you and I could not enter there. It was a place that we could not go as a human being. But folks, just as the prophet Isaiah would prophesy all those years before, he made possible a relationship as he bore our sins on his body on the tree. He makes possible a personal, intimate relationship with God. And the thick veil shielded the Holy of Holies, where the light of God's presence once appeared in the cloud that would cover the Ark of the Covenant. But the veil was no longer needed because Jesus Christ had atoned for the sins of the entire world. His death this morning offers you and I eternal life. So this morning, if you accept Jesus Christ, you don't come to Christ in order to find religion. No, folks, religion is cold and dead. Religion is about a bunch of rituals and all of the things that you can possibly do to earn God's favor. But folks, that's not what you're looking for this morning. What you need more than anything else is a personal relationship with the God of the universe, who loves you so much that he would send his son to die on the cross. This is huge. He's offering us eternal life. So as verse 46 says, Jesus calling out with a loud voice, he says, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. In other words, he's having said this, he breathed his last breath. The story of Jesus this morning is one of forgiveness. The story of Jesus is about a position of relationship. Jesus adopts us into the family of God, where we can receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. But this morning, he offers all that will receive him a place of hope. If you look at Luke chapter 24, just over just a page or so, in your Bible, it talks about, it says on the first day of the week, it talks about what Jesus Christ is accomplishing. Jesus didn't stay dead in the grave. Unlike every other god of this world, every single one is still dead and in the grave. But folks, this morning, Jesus only needed it for a part of 3 days. In fact, if you travel there today, the tomb is empty. Because Jesus is not there, he's very much alive. The Word of God says, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to him, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you what he would do when he was still in Galilee." Folks, this morning, we don't have to live the rest of our lives bound by the sin of our past. Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus, offers hope. In other words, he offers us a new position, a new relationship with God. He offers us forgiveness of our sin. And folks, he offers us hope of a home in heaven one day. Folks, where we don't have to spend all of eternity paying for the debt that we owe. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He offers us hope this morning. This morning, he wants to forgive you of your sin. And it doesn't matter what you've done this morning. He says, you do not have to stay dead in your sin. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? I'm thankful that Jesus Christ paid my debt on the cross over 2,000 years ago. I'm thankful this morning that because of the relationship that he provides, I can know God and I can have an intimate relationship with God and hear him speak into my life, and he convicts me and shows me areas of my life. Is my life perfect today? Absolutely not. I'd be the first to admit I'm a sinner in desperate need of the forgiveness of God. But folks, he has forgiven me. And every day as I walk in relationship with him, folks, I can hear him speaking to my life. He speaks through his word. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through the relationship that I have with God, with others. As I go to church, as I get in relationship with my small group, it's amazing how God speaks to me as his child and gives me hope. What kind of hope does Jesus give? He gives us hope of a life that is no longer bound by sin. Whew! Think about that. Some of you can remember periods of time in your own life. If you go back, maybe yesterday, maybe it's a month ago, maybe it's 10 years ago, where you said, "Pastor, that's a part of the vault I don't want to open back up." Let's don't go back down that road. Folks, he offers us hope of a life that's no longer bound by sin. Say, "Pastor, I was bound by alcohol or by drugs or by all of these sins of my past." And folks, to know that I don't have to be bound by that any longer. Jesus Christ frees me from the bonds of sin. All of God's people says to that, amen. Woo! Hope of heaven. He offers us this world does not get any better, folks. In fact, if you watch the news, it's progressively getting worse. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gives us a hope of heaven of one day when the trumpet sounds, he's going to take the bride of Christ, the church of God, home to heaven. Folks, you can have every single bit of it. As much as I love this life and the life that God has blessed me with, folks, you can have it all. Just give me Jesus. Give me that personal relationship with God, and we'll have all of the rest of eternity to be in the presence of God. Hope of eternal life, folks. Eternity in heaven with Jesus. What's the alternative to that? The Word of God says that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So folks, the Word of God says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. One day, every single one of us will stand before God and we'll give an account for this life that we've lived. And folks, the ultimate reality is what did you do with Jesus? Our hope rests in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This morning, you can experience life-changing hope that will forever change the trajectory of your life. In other words, you may be looking at your life and you say, "Pastor, I'm ashamed of my past." Folks, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's forgiven. It's under the blood. It's forgotten, never to be remembered anymore. So Jesus Christ is offering us a relationship this morning. He's offering us forgiveness. He's offering us a new position as a child, as a son or daughter of God. He offers us that personal relationship with God. But folks, he also offers us a place of hope. In other words, we can come to Jesus Christ and we don't have to live this life any longer without the pain and the suffering of our past. He offers us hope of one day being in the presence of God for all of eternity. We must realize, folks, you and I can never live a good enough life to get into heaven. It's not possible. See, Pastor, you don't understand it. All the amazing things. I volunteered at my child's school for 12 years in a row. And Pastor, I try to feed the homeless and the hungry. And I go on missions trips and do missions work. Pastor, I do all of these things. I give to the church. I'm faithful to church. That's not going to get you into entrance into heaven. The relationship with God is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It depends on what you do with Jesus. And so this morning, the story of Jesus is incomplete without you. Think about that for just a moment this morning. The story of Jesus is incomplete without you. Because folks, if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior in your life, Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, is all in vain. But folks, the moment we open our arms and say, Jesus Christ, I need you. Lord, I need you. As the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. We deserve this. But folks, when we open our arms to Jesus Christ, say, Pastor, I don't know all of the answers. It's okay. Jesus Christ will give you. He'll begin to speak through his word. He begins to illuminate his word and shows us how to live the Christian life, the life he's called us to as a follower of Jesus Christ. See, Pastor, I don't understand all of the miracles of the New Testament. I don't know all the things about the Old Testament saints of God. Folks, it does not matter. If you believe that Jesus Christ loves you and he died on the cross, you believe that you are a sinner on your way to hell, folks, you can place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary and receive forgiveness of sin. The Word of God says in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's he saying? Paul is writing, he says, it is by the beautiful, miraculous, merciful grace of God that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And he says, it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. The Word of God says the eternal life is a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he goes on, he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. By nature, we are prideful people. We like to have the biggest and the baddest of whatever it is. We like to, and folks, we like to climb the corporate ladder. We like to make the best grades. We like to have the winning shot on the field. We like to have the last basket on the and win the game in basketball. But folks, the reality is this morning is you cannot gain entrance into heaven on your own. It comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can never be good enough to gain entrance in heaven. The good news is there is hope. Jesus did not stay dead. He rose again on the third day. What's the application this morning? Let me ask you this morning, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Has there been a time in your life that you personally realized that you were hopeless without Jesus Christ? Has there been a moment in your life that you understood, you know, I cannot do this on my own anymore. I've tried to do this. I've tried to live the good life. I've tried to go to church. I've tried to read my Bible. And folks, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it all. It's overwhelming. Folks, the reality is, what have you done with Jesus? Salvation is not based on good works that we can do in this life. It's based on what Jesus has already accomplished. Folks, if you're looking for hope this morning, Jesus is your hope. If you're looking for a relationship this morning, Jesus makes possible a relationship with God. If you're in need of forgiveness this morning, Jesus provides forgiveness for your sin. I wonder this morning, have you ever invited Jesus Christ into your life to give you, forgive you of your sin and to be your personal Lord and Savior? Jesus always enters where he's invited. Has there been, I'm not asking you if you've joined the church or if you were baptized as a baby. I'm asking you, has there been a time in your life that you have acknowledged your sin before God and you invited him into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior? The Word of God says in the book of Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But he goes on, he says, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Word of God goes on in verse 13 and says, For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall find forgiveness, shall discover a new relationship, shall receive hope in their time of misery. Folks, Jesus Christ offers that the moment we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you'll accept Christ today, he'll forgive you of all of your sin. And folks, he will give you a relationship with God of the which you've never even dreamed was possible. The Word of God will begin to make sense in a way you've never understood. The relationship, he's the one who convicts us. He's the one that draws us to himself. He's the one that comforts us in our time of need. He's the one that enables us to understand the things of God. I want you this morning, I beg you, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I say something this morning? Today is the day of salvation. This morning, today, is your opportunity to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, I don't know all the answers. The reality is, the answer is, Jesus spread out his arms on the cross of Calvary, and he's offering forgiveness. He's offering hope. He's offering a relationship with God. And folks, what kind of God would do that? What kind of king would do that? The one who paid your debt on the cross of Calvary. This morning, you've been broken long enough. Today is your day to receive Christ. This morning, you've had problems long enough. You've been searching long enough. The answer to life's greatest problems is found in Jesus Christ. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you from your sin. And this morning in our story, there were two thieves on the cross. One rejected Christ. The other received him, invited him into his life. This morning, I beg you, cry out to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I wonder, has there been a moment in your life that you can go back and you say, Pastor David, I'm confident of this. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven because I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've confessed my sins before a holy God, and I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I wonder, can you confidently say that this morning? No one else is looking around, but you can say, Pastor David, there's been a time in my life I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for my sin. If you can honestly say that, would you slip your hand up very quickly and quietly? No one else is looking around this morning. Say, Pastor David, I've done that. I've gotten that settled once and for all in my life. You can put your hand down. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never taking the opportunity to confess your sins to a holy God. In just a moment, you're going to have that opportunity right here in this service. The Word of God says that today is the day of salvation. And this morning, I want to encourage you, no matter what brought you here this morning, it's a divine appointment of God that you're here on this very day. God wants to speak truth into your life. And the truth is that he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin. In a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity right where you're seated to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you, don't leave this morning having found religion. Leave this morning with a confident ability to know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm begging you this morning to confess your sins to a holy God and receive forgiveness. Receive a relationship. Leave here this morning with the hope of heaven. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, as we go to prayer in just a moment, I want to invite you right now where you're seated to pray and to confess your sins and to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life. If that's the desire of your heart this morning, as I pray right now, would you pray right where you're seated this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your grace. But Lord, I confess my sin to you. Lord, right now, the best way I know how, I place my faith and trust in you. And what you accomplish, Lord, how you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, I believe that. I believe he died for my sin, and I believe he was buried, and I believe that 3 days later he rose again from the grave. Lord, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin and be my personal Lord and Savior. Friend, if you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I just say congratulations? You have just begun the greatest journey of your entire life. In fact, Jesus Christ promises when we confess our sins, the Word of God says he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you prayed just a few moments ago, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This morning, the Word of God gives you confidence. You can know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of your faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Friend, this morning, if you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to pray for you in just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But maybe you say, Pastor David, as you were praying just a few moments ago, I prayed right here in my seat and placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you prayed to receive Jesus Christ, would you do me a favor just looking up and letting your eyes meet mine? No one else is looking around. Just look up and let your eyes meet mine. No one else is looking around this morning. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Somebody else. Pastor David, just a moment ago as you prayed, I prayed and received Jesus Christ. Just keep your eyes open long enough for me to see it this morning. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Somebody else. And Pastor David, a few moments ago as you prayed, I prayed and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. This morning, as you prayed, I prayed right here, received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Somebody else. Just keep your eyes open long enough for you to see me. This morning, as you prayed, Pastor David, I prayed and received Christ as my Savior. Thank you. Somebody else. I want to pray for you in just a moment. If God is speaking to your heart, you pray to receive Jesus Christ. Would you look up and let me see your eyes for just a moment? Someone else. God is speaking to your heart. What an awesome picture this morning of forgiveness. If you pray to receive Jesus Christ, we're going to go to prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, there's probably 8 people that acknowledged this morning that they called unto you to forgive them of their sin, Lord, and to be their personal Lord and Savior. God, we celebrate with them. We rejoice with them. God, we are excited about what you're doing and changing hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray this morning you would give them that confident assurance of this newfound relationship that they have with you. Thank you for giving us forgiveness. Lord, for giving us a clean slate before God and counting us righteous before God. And Lord, thank you for the hope that comes through relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. God, I pray that they would get into church. God, I pray that they begin this new relationship on the right foundation, the right footing, and Lord, have a journey of coming to know Christ and experiencing the presence of God in the weeks and months ahead. God, we'll be careful to praise you for what you've accomplished in their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet this morning. This morning, if you prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. Our pastoral staff is down front. Some of our deacons are making their way down front. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, you want to pray with someone to pray with you to encourage you, do your part and step out on this very first stanza as the band begins to lead our final song of worship. If God is speaking to your heart, maybe you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray. The altar is open. You do business with God as the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart as we sing. Service this morning, I want to ask everyone to take out the Connect card that was on your chair when you arrived this morning. There's a pin that should be with that. That's our gift to you today. And we will take just a couple moments, if you would, and just put your name. I'll just ask everybody here present today to do this. Just write your name on the card, an email address on that card. And then I want to